Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Iraqi leaders must rise above their differences and come together around a political plan for Iraq's future. Shia, Sunni, Kurds, all Iraqis must have confidence that they can advance their interests and aspirations through the political process rather than through violence. National unity meetings have to go forward to build consensus.
Oh, shut up. Turn it off. I can't listen to this lying, two-faced ass. I can't take him another second. I watched this liar speak today. First off, he shows up an hour late. When have you ever heard of a president being as... I don't have the right word for it. What message does this send to our children? They should just show up at work whenever they want. They should show up at school whenever they want. Because Mr. Cool shows up an hour later. Let me tell you who did that on a regular basis. And you're not going to want to hear it. Hitler did it. It was part of his mesmerizing ability to speak. He'd make audiences wait for up to an hour. And then he came out and gave his big speech. Who was advising Obama? He's becoming increasingly insane. His behavior is that of a madman. I think he's unhinged from reality. The border is overrun with diseased third world individuals who are infecting the country. And he has the nerve to get up there and talk about a unity government in Iraq, that the people must come together. Sunnis and Shia and Kurds must advance their interests, he says, through the political process. And what does he do in America? He spits on his political opponents. He spits on us! The country is screaming for unity. And this divisive creature, Icarus the president, has the nerve to get up there like he has any authority to tell the Iraqis what to do when he has divided this country in a way that has not been divided since the U.S. Civil War. Well, 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 back in our past. Yeah, we'd like a unity government, Mr. Obama. Once we'd like you to listen to those of us who are fed up with your left-wing fanaticism. Once we'd like a unity government. I want to tell you about Icarus. Icarus is a Greek figure, a mythological figure, who you may vaguely remember from high school. In the short version, it's about a Greek figure who created false wings made of feathers and wax. And while his father warned him not to fly too close to the sun because the heat would melt the wax and the feathers would fall off his fake wings, Icarus ignored his father's instructions not to fly too close to the sun. And the melting wax caused him to fall into the sea where he drowned. And I'm asking you, is Obama not showing the hubris of Icarus? Is this man not psychologically dangerous for the United States and for the world? Flying so close to the sun on his manufactured image, on his manufactured wings? When in the heck does this come to an end? When do we ever get a government back? When do we ever get a government of the people, by the people, and for the people? When the hell are the Republicans going to send the National Guard to the border to stop the swarm of third world individuals swarming over with diseases, smallpox, malaria? Shall I name the diseases? You want to check out the measles epidemic that's about to emerge? The tuberculosis epidemic that's about to emerge? Do you have any idea what this man is doing to your country? Now, he's not alone, by the way. The senile Rupert Murdoch, the whipmaster of Fox News, the senile old goat, Rupert Murdoch, has the nerve to write a long speech the other day on how badly we need amnesty. And then the old senile goat, Murdoch, has the nerve to throw out the false canard that Obama has shown restraint, to throw out the false canard that 40% of the CEOs in America are immigrants. How many of these 40% come from a Spanish-speaking nation? How many of these 40% snuck across the border? How many of these 40% don't speak English? How many of these 40% don't even speak Spanish, can't even write a Spanish? What a liar that Murdoch is. You look at his New York Post, all it is about pornography. Pornography, the whole newspaper's pornography. There's not one note about what Obama's doing to the country. The entire newspaper, the entire New York Post, if you look at the front page, one page after the other, it's pornographic. One page after the other, soft corn porn from the Australian immigrant, Rupert Murdoch. And he has the nerve to tell us that 40% of the CEOs in America are immigrants. Well, what a lie that is. We're not talking about immigrants here. We're talking about illegal aliens. We're talking about people who are illiterate in their own language, in their own country. Now we're talking about a president who was so out of touch with reality that I fear he may be a madman. I fear he may be a madman. I think his hubris has gotten so great that he may be a madman. Then I listened to Obama's speech an hour late. An hour late, he bops onto the stage like Mr. Cool. Just used those weights in the gym, pumped himself up, drank a coffee, smoked a cigarette, went out and gave the big lie, gave the big speech again. You know, the speech about unity is what got to me. I started screaming in the room after waiting an hour for this fraud to give his speech. An hour I waited for this fraud to speech, and he comes up with this garbage about a unity government. The people have to work together. All Iraqis must have confidence that they can advance their interests through the political process rather than through violence. While in this country, he's provoking violence because he's closed down the political process. And the borders are being overrun. Did anyone hear the speech today? Did anyone have anything to say about it? I'm the only one angry over this. June 19, 2014, and I'm still enraged by what this thing is doing to our country. I'm enraged by it. I've been watching politics since I'm a kid, since I'm a teenager. A late teenager at that. No, actually, I wasn't political. Now that I'm looking in my journals from 1963, 4, 5, there's not a political word in any of them, now that I think about it. I was not really political until I got older, until I saw what liberalism did to people, until I saw the social engineering of affirmative action, until I saw the death of the white male that was coming, until I saw them trying to decimate an entire race in this country in order to advance other races. But now it's metastasized. Now all of us are going to pay for their insanity. Now they're doubling down on decimating our borders, language, and culture, destroying it forever. Where is the government? Where is the central government? Who is going to save the people from these diseased third worlders raging across our border? Who is going to save us from them? I keep asking myself. But then you go to Iraq. You ask yourself about Iraq. How stupid do you have to be to listen to this Icarus talk to us about military advisors? What is he sending them over there with? Souffle kits? They're not military advisors. They're warriors, and they're going to fight. This is the beginning of Vietnam all over again, or at least it could be. It's for those of you who are old enough to remember how it started, we didn't just send an invasion force of 500,000 into Vietnam at once. Oh, no, we sent 300 advisors to start with. Then the advisors got in trouble, so we sent 600 advisors. Then we sent 1,000 advisors. And they were not there to fight, mind you. They were there just to advise. Especially now that you have the cowards at the Weekly Standard, John McCain, Paul Wolfowitz, and the other neocons, a word that I'm not allowed to use for fear of being called an anti-Semite. The neocons screaming for blood. They don't like the word neocon. They think it's a code word. Well, it isn't a code word for anyone's race or religion. It's a code word for a bunch of chicken hawks who want your son to die for their military-industrial complex aspirations. That's my opinion. So that's what's going on inside of my heart and my soul. But behind it all is something else. And I'm going to get to it slowly. Our borders are being overrun by disease-ridden third worlders, mixed in with hardcore gang members. And I ask, what must be done now? Murdoch is saying that the president has shown great restraint in not using his executive order to advance amnesty. Meanwhile, the IRS scandal is worse than Watergate, according to the Wall Street Journal, which apparently evaded Murdoch's mad scrutiny. His own newspaper said that Obama's scandal with the IRS is worse than Watergate. And yet the senile old goat, Murdoch, has the nerve to tell us that we need amnesty for 30 to 60 million illegal aliens, and that's going to make America economically great. I never heard anything like this. There seems to be madness everywhere. There seems to be no honesty, no truth, no leadership, nothing anybody can count on anywhere in this country. From the churches to the schools, filled with liars, filled with politically controlled liars. Whether it be on the big lie of global warming, where professors get fired if they dare even question the big lie, very much like what went on in the Soviet Union and what went on, by the way, in Nazi Germany. If scientists in Nazi Germany did not go along with the racial theories of Nazi scientists, they were thrown out of the universities and probably put in concentration camps. Right now, we have the same thing going on in America with regard to the myth. I repeat, the myth, the theory, if you want, of global warming. The theory of global warming. If any scientist dares question the theory of global warming, they are fired or drummed out of the academia. Very much like Nazi Germany, ex-Soviet Union, under this petty dictator of ours, getting more insane with his power every day. Every day. So last night, I caught the end of a television show, an old television show, about a great man in Sicily named Judge Falcone. And I'd seen it years before. I knew how it ended. Falcone was a brave anti-mafia judge. He was such a brave anti-mafia judge that he had to live on a military base. And they said that they were going to kill him. And this Falcone was such a great man that a memorial to him was built at our FBI headquarters when we still had an FBI that we can believe in under Louis Frey. A memorial to Mr. Falcone was built. But the reason I'm talking about this anti-mafia judge in Sicily is because the mafia had become so powerful and so strong and so bold that they started killing politicians and judges. They were no longer afraid of anything. And then they killed Judge Falcone. What happened after that is a story worth telling, and it's about how one heartbroken woman, the widow of a police bodyguard for Judge Falcone, changed a nation and helped defeat the mafia. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
The Savage.
Savage.
.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Through our new counterterrorism partnership fund, we're prepared to work with Congress to provide additional equipment. We have had advisors in Iraq through our embassy, and we're prepared to send a small number of additional American military advisors, up to 300, to assess how we can best train, advise, and support Iraqi security.
It's Vietnam all over again. And, of course, the reason this happened is because of his cut-and-run policies. Now, he argues that Malaki wouldn't let America keep troops there. That's a complete fabrication. He cut-and-run, which is why the Sunnis jumped into the void. And behind all of it are the Saudis, which is why we're doing very little, by the way. Very little, incidentally, because the Saudi Arabians are behind most of the terrorism on the planet, and yet they're our great partner. Now, of course, there's a way to cut the Saudi Arabians out of the puzzle, which is to start fracking, build the Keystone XL pipeline and tell them to go pound sand. Tell them to go pound sand, and in 20 years they'll be out on the world stage with a begging cup. They can take their oil and drink it. Now you understand why Obama will not permit fracking and will not permit the Keystone XL pipeline to be built. Because I have a desperate fear that behind all of this are the Saudis. I think they have selected our last several presidents. It wouldn't be illogical to believe that, given that all of the policies have supported Saudi Arabia and our military has been used as a Hessian force for Saudi Arabia. 855-407-282. Now let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Bob on WFTL in Florida. Go ahead, please.
Michael, you said that you saw the light in 63. I saw it in 49 when I voted for Eisenhower. I came home. My brother threatened to beat me to death because I voted Republican. And I told your screener that I thought for the first time in 6.5 years the big buffoon said something that made a little bit of American sense.
What was that?
He said he would not support either side in Iraq. And that makes...
Do you actually believe that? That's the question, Bob. Do you actually believe a word that comes out of this charlatan's mouth?
No, I said when his lips are moving, he's lying.
Well, by sending troops, he is supporting a side, isn't he?
Yes, absolutely he's supporting a side. He's going to send 300 guys in there to help the Shiites.
That's correct. He's protecting the Shiites from the Sunni reprisals that they invited through their monstrous behavior towards the Sunnis. The best friend we ever had, by the way, was Saddam Hussein, as we found out after he was killed and his sons were killed. We needed a weakened Saddam there as a counterbalance to Iran. Right now, Iran is the big winner. Wouldn't you agree, Bob?
Absolutely.
Well, I saw that in 2005 when Bush 2 launched that insane war, too. I said the big winner is liable to be Iran, which will see a new Persia emerge, and that's exactly what we're seeing.
Whichever way it turns, Iran is going to be the winner.
Bob, were you an advisor to Eisenhower? Is that what you're saying?
No, I voted for him.
Voted. I'm sorry. I was a little boy when Eisenhower was president. He was a great man, and I loved him. I know he had his flaws and many detractors, but God, did I feel safe as an American when he was president. My mother could walk to the corner for a loaf of bread without being beaten up by an illegal alien gang member. Thanks for the call. I'll leave it at that. I can tell you a few more stories about how tough the police were in those days and how we feared them and why crime was low. If any of the boys, even in my crowd, which is not a particularly wild crowd, did anything wrong, the cops gave them a beating, by the way. That's right. The bad ones in our crowd, the crowd that really might have gone bad, were terrified of the police. Now you know what it is? The police are Mr. Rogers in America. The police are afraid of the people.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Michael Savage.
Either they're crazy, super crazy, or totally insane. Most people who are legitimate and sane don't go into politics.
Contrary to what may be popular belief, there are plenty of Democrats in this body very much worried about Iraq. The question is, what do we do about it? It is complicated, I'll be the first to admit, but the first thing we have to assess as a nation, does it really matter what happens in Iraq? Clearly, I think it does. Economically, if Iraq becomes a failed state, the oil production in the south falls into the hands of the Iranians, Iraq becomes a failed state.
You double-talking
economic
liar.
Chaos throughout the region.
Again, the oil, war for oil. Look at this. There they go again.
In your wallet eventually.
So here we go again.
Economic collapse in Iraq would affect our economy and our ability to recover.
What a liar. How does he stay in office, this Graham?
Into turmoil.
All right, you heard this now. Here's a Republican double talker, Lindsey Graham Cracker, telling us that, oh, yes, it's in our national interest. We have to go into Iraq again. Again, the military-industrial complex is fast at work. It'll hit us in the pocketbook. Well, there's a quick answer to that, Mr. Graham, which is immediately, through action of Congress, build the Keystone XL pipeline, get that running, fracking number two. Within 5 years, Saudi Arabia will be pounding sand. They'll be on the world's market begging for people to buy their garbage. So don't give us the garbage that we need to go fight in Iraq, or else our gas prices will go through the roof. Do you actually believe anything any of these people say anymore? Is there one politician? I know a few. Are there more than a few who you believe? Are there any that you believe in? I've never heard anything like this. It reminds me of ancient Roman days, when Caligula, the dictator, got so fed up with the Senate, and he was worse than all of them, that he took out a senator and put a horse in his chair. And he said to the rest of the senators, I'm replacing Senator whatever with a horse because the horse has as much sense as the senators do. That's where we are today. You could put a jackass in Lindsey Graham's seat, and you'd get better results. You could put a mule in Nancy Pelosi's seat, you'd get more wisdom. You could put a crow in Dianne Feinstein's seat, and you get more beauty. But this is not a laughing matter. This is not a laughing matter at all. Here we go again. Military advisors. military advisors. Now, I want to develop what I tried to develop earlier. I need time, and this is the only segment of the hour, by the way. First segment's hard to develop. That's an opener. Second segment is a quick 2-3 minutes. You don't have time. This segment, and the 34 on, is the longest segments that I have in the radio business every day to develop an actual idea. I need at least 30 minutes. So I'll take 10, which is about all I have right now. Right now, I could use an hour to develop what I want to tell you. So last night, as I say, I was watching Italian television here in the Bay Area in translation. I only know restaurant Italian and a few curse words that I learned in my childhood in Queens from my Italian friends. And I watched it on Falcone, Judge Falcone, and I knew the story. He was a powerful, strong, wonderful man who was an anti-mafia judge. And the story ends with him being blown up. His wife is killed, and the two chase cars, the police cars that were protecting him, were blown up, and the policemen, the young policemen, were killed. Then the documentary ends with actual footage of the widow, Rosaria Costa Schifani, giving a speech in Palermo at the funeral for the dead policeman and Judge Falcone. It's so heartbreaking and so heart-rending that even if you don't speak Italian, you're going to understand where I'm coming from. Neil, just run the clip. Let's see how it sounds on the Savage Nation.
Rosaria Costa. Vedova della gente, Vito Schifani mio, battezzata nel nome del Padre, del Figlio e dello Spirito Santo, a nome di tutti coloro che hanno dato la vita per lo Stato, chiedo innanzitutto che venga fatta giustizia, adesso, rivolgendomi agli uomini della mafia, perché ci sono qua dentro, e non, ma certamente non cristiani.
Now, let me pause right there. In the middle of the funeral for her dead policeman husband, she's pregnant with their baby. She's reading a speech prepared by the priest, who I think was her brother. I'm not exactly sure. And she starts to break down. She goes off script. And she starts saying things off and on the script. And she appeals to the mafia. She's saying, "You're not Christians. Please," she said, "be Christians again, rejoin the world, rejoin the civilized world." Of course, they laughed at her. You know what they did. They celebrated with champagne cocktails after the judge was killed. But she says, "I forgive you because I'm a Christian. Jesus Christ compels me, but you have to kneel to justice." And she goes on and she talks about the villa that is open to Satan. And she talks about how Satan has taken over her country, especially Palermo, Sicily. And she talks about the desperation of the people, and she says to them, play a little bit more of the Italian, Neil. It's really touching.
C'è possibilità di perdono. Io vi perdono, però mi dovete mettere in ginocchio. Però. Se avete il coraggio di cambiare, loro non cambiano.
Se avete il coraggio
di cambiare. Di cambiare radicalmente i vostri progetti, i progetti mortali che avete.
So the tears of this woman so motivated the Sicilian people to rise up against the mafia that the greatest attacks against the mafia in history occurred and the leaders were arrested. Now, it doesn't mean the mafia was wiped out in Sicily by any means, but the killings of the judges, the killings of journalists, the killings of politicians stopped. And the people of Sicily were moved by this woman's tears. And while watching it last night, I said, is that what it's going to take for this gangster regime to be stopped? Is it going to take the tears of a woman to bring the people to their senses in this nation? How in the world can we go on with this gangster regime getting away with murder on a daily basis? A smaller and smaller cadre, a smaller and smaller inner circle. One anti-constitutional, one anti-human act after another by this cadre in the White House. And the journalists are complicit in the loss of our freedoms. The politicians are like the horse's ass that Caligula spoke of. Then the borders are being overrun. The nation is being decimated from every side, torn apart by corruption and greed and avarice like I've never seen in my life. And this charlatan gets up an hour late today with his arrogance. 1 hour late. Have you ever heard a president come an hour late just to show how powerful he is? And he bops on the stage like he's Mr. Cool, telling everyone you can drop dead, I'm God. And then he gives this BS speech about Iraq, and they're only this, and they're only advisors. And I ask myself, what is it going to take for the people to rise up? What is it going to take for the people to say enough is enough from this charlatan and his gang that's running the country like it's a private cash register? It's like it's a private cash register for him and his cronies. I've never seen anything like it. It's naked. It's naked. What, because he wears a shirt and tie and he's good looking and he's got a great voice? He's suddenly great? No other politician has ever gotten away with this in this country, ever in the history of the country. Never. One scandal after another that rises, by the way, to the level of an impeachable offense. The IRS loss of the emails is an impeachable offense. This is something that happens in a banana republic. Right now, we're lower than a banana republic. It would not even happen in a banana republic. What just happened here? Lois Lerner's emails are gone. Her six henchwomen at the IRS, their emails disappeared. The hard drives were destroyed by the government. And there's no outcry by the press corps. Those stooges standing on the stage there with Obama, that fraud there, whatever his name is, for Politico, that other phony there, whatever his name is, that they hold up on a platform like he's some great newsman, that one with that half beard, that one with the half beard whose name I forget. How'd he get elevated all of a sudden? And so Obama asks the questions after his speech, and he looks down on his note cards, and he has the names of the so-called stooge journalists to ask, to call for, Judy blank. And Judy sounds like a scared rabbit. She asks the question shaking like a kid in high school who's afraid of speaking, public speaking. And everything she asked was ready to be answered by the actor-in-chief. So you say, well, what are you going to do about it? Me, I'm not going to do anything about it. That's not my job. I'm only one man. I'm one man, but I'm watching the nation break apart. How can a president break a border apart like this and not go to prison? How could they not impeach him? How could a stooge, head of Homeland Security, someone no one ever heard of, go in there and now provide escorts for the illegal aliens and the gangbangers across the border? How could they get away with this in a sane country? There's not a country on earth that would permit this, whether it be Italy itself, France, Germany, England. Every country protects its borders. This clown and his gangsters have broken our borders and are destroying us right in front of our eyes. And not a peep from the worthless Republicans. Not a word. And then to add insult to injury, the senile old goat, Rupert Murdoch, writes an editorial saying Obama's been very controlled on immigration. Very controlled. And we need immigrants. We need amnesty because they're going to be our economic engine of the future. So the senile Murdoch with his pornographic rags is now so detached from reality that he has the nerve to say 40% of our CEOs in Fortune 500 companies are immigrants. Well, that may be true. How many of them speak Spanish as a native language? How many of them came here illegally? How many of them were illiterate in their own language? How many of them never went to grade school, let alone high school or college? Do you understand the big lie that's being told? And so I appeal to you again on the program. I appeal to you. Can you stop Icarus before it's too late? How much worse does it have to get before this country is no more right in front of your eyes? So I've had my 10 minutes of infamy just now in this third segment of hour number one on the Savage Nation. I invite you to call on any of the topics, whether it be Obama's speech on Iraq, Rosario Costa Schifani's speech back in 1992, I believe, in Sicily, and how that brought the people to their feet finally, and they demanded change, and they got change because the corrupt politicians finally heard the people. What is it going to take? A question. Another question is, when will Icarus finally when will Icarus finally fly too close to the sun? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Through our new counterterrorism partnership fund, we're prepared to work with Congress to provide additional equipment We have had advisors in Iraq through our embassy, and we're prepared to send a small number of additional American military advisors, up to 300, to assess how we can best train, advise, and support Iraqi security forces going forward. American forces will not be returning to combat in Iraq.
We heard all of this before. The question is, what do you, the people, think? You heard what I think. I've expressed it over the last almost an hour. You know what I feel. I'm outraged. I'm sickened by what I see going on. And I'd like to know what you think. KSFO, Paul, welcome from San Francisco. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. I absolutely 100% concur. I have never in my lifetime seen a confluence of circumstances as egregious as these are. And what it made me think of, and what I'm hoping occurs to the Democratic leadership, is that just like Yamamoto said on the ship after Pearl Harbor, I fear all we've done is awaken a sleeping giant. Hopefully the American people wake up and realize that we have an equally as severe circumstance, a collection of 1,000 wounds that's going to end up killing us.
Yes, but he's the enemy within. The administration is the enemy of the people. It's not the people who want the flood of illegals with diseases coming across the border. It's him. It's him answering to La Raza, a foreign pressure group.
I couldn't agree more. That's exactly my point.
So how can the people be awakened if you've got a government that's as tyrannical as this, with a knife to the throat of everybody?
Well, because in theory, the people still have the power of the vote. So that if all of these
wait a minute. Here's the horror of what it is. They throw Cantor out in a landslide last week. And what does Boehner say, the drunk? He says, we're not changing our course at all. We're steamrolling ahead with immigration reform. We're not changing any of our Republican policies. They're not going to change. Don't you understand that? The establishment is dead set on amnesty for these 30 to 60 million illegal aliens, gang members included, diseased included. They don't care.
I'm not suggesting that each one of these by themselves singularly is going to result in a change. I'm feeling like a train that's moving towards a immovable object. Something is going to happen as a result of all of this, because I feel chaos amongst the government, amongst the people, and just like what happened in Pearl Harbor, you know, it's going to finally wake people up. And that's what I'm trying to suggest. And
okay, I don't know what that Pearl Harbor is going to be. We had it on 9/11 2001, and the people were united for a while. Is that what it's going to take again for another Islamist to set off another bomb, only this time a bigger one? Is that what it's going to take for us to realize that we have no central government?
Well, I'm sorry to say that that's what I think actually has happened to the American people. They don't think anymore. They feel disenfranchised, or they just frankly don't even think anymore. They're not aware.
Well, we understand the problem. They flooded America with non-English-speaking third worlders who don't even know what's going on and could care less. They've just been told, like in Iraq, to paint your finger pink and put your fingerprint down next to the dictator's party's affiliation. Do you think that 50% of the electorate that doesn't even work could care about this country when they're not required to even learn English to vote? They may as well just paint their fingers pink and be told to press their finger against the voting pad. That's how much the vote counts in this country. Obama and the Democrats have decimated the meaning of democracy. They have destroyed the vote itself. Just as they melted down the border, they've melted down the vote. This is the only nation on earth that I know of that does not have voter ID. There's not a nation on earth that does not require voter ID. And yet those despicable Democrats had the nerve to say that anyone who demanded voter ID was an anti-black, anti-Hispanic racist. And the Republicans went back to the cloakroom for another drink. That's why I call them Clink. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Now, it's not the place for the United States to choose Iraq's leaders. It is clear, though, that only leaders that can govern with an inclusive agenda are going to be
like
able
you?
To truly bring the Iraqui people together and help them through this crisis.
He just paused on his own double talk.
Meanwhile, the United States will not pursue military action.
You hear what he just said? An inclusive agenda when he rules with an iron fist, with the most exclusive agenda ever seen in American history. He has the nerve. He has the audacity to tell Iraq that they need an inclusive agenda when he spits on the American people, busts our borders open, runs in diseased individuals from Central America, spits on the Tea Party by sicking the fascist IRS on any organization that opposes his radical left-wing agenda, and he says we need an inclusive agenda? This is what got me angry. I don't mind a liberal. I don't mind a Democrat. It's a two-party system. I've lived with both my whole life. But I do mind a dictatorship very much. I do mind a martinet like Obama. I do mind the fact that I have no voice. I do mind the fact that I have no representation. I do mind the fact that the two-party system is dead. I do mind the fact that we're living in a dictatorship. I do mind the fact that the corruption has never been this great. I do mind the fact that diseased third worlders are being ushered into America by the Department of Homeland Disease. There's a lot of things I mind. I mind that the IRS is being used as a political arm of the Democrat National Committee. I mind that there is one insult to our intelligence after another. I mind. And what chance do I have to do anything? Well, I'm very lucky. At least I can sound off on the Savage Nation. Many years people have said to me, you'd probably crack up if you didn't have an outlet like the show. Because I used to say, I think this is going to kill me one day. I felt that from the day I started. After all, I wasn't a child when I began. I was quite a long in life. And I gave it my all, and I was afraid, you know, I think this is going to probably cause a heart attack or a stroke or something because I get so worked up over this. And then some friend said, no, it probably is healthful for you because you get to vent. They said, do you know what it's like to be us? That we see what you see and we have nowhere to go with it? We can't say it at home. We can't say it at work. We can't say it anywhere. We have nowhere to express ourselves. Well, maybe they're right. I mean, I've been at it for 20 years. God only knows what tomorrow will bring. I mean, the stress is starting to take its toll on me, I'll tell you that. I can feel parts falling off the aircraft. I can feel things breaking in the hull. I can tell you right now from the stress I'm under. I'm not here to complain. I'm telling you that the stress of dealing with this corrupt gangster regime is getting to me. I can't take it anymore. I'm at a boiling point and a breaking point. Maybe I just need a June vacation. Maybe I just need to take a vacation. Now, I won't go and I won't fly anywhere. I hate flying. I hate vacations. I hate going anywhere. I hate everywhere but my own bed. So scratch that idea. No, I won't take a vacation. I think I'll just stay here and look at what's going on and take your calls, which is where we're going to go right now on the Savage Nation. Ulysses on KSFO in San Francisco. Thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I first want to say to everybody out there, I am a first-generation Mexican-American, and I despise the fact that President Obama has opened up the borders. Now, I want to say, both my parents came from Mexico. My father graduated high school here, and my mother got her college degree here. They both became American citizens. Ever since I've grown up, we've been watching Univision. Since I can remember, my mother has always been like Democrat. Now, you have opened my eyes, Dr. Savage. You have turned me into a Democrat, into an independent thinker. What's going on in the borders is not only not right, he should definitely be impeached. Because my parents.
How can any person in this country who's here legitimately, I don't care what their background is, want illegal aliens in the country? What sense does it make? Tell me what sense it makes to bring in on top of that diseased individuals who are bringing in the illnesses that were once annihilated or controlled in this country. What sane nation would permit this?
It makes no sense at all. And ever since I've been speaking to my parents about what you have been saying, Dr. Savage, they've been turning off their Hispanic radios, their Latin-speaking radios. They have been turning off Univision because I've told them you guys are not knowledgeable of what's going on here.
Univision is nothing but a propaganda channel for the amnesty crowd. And for the Democrat Party USA, the open borders crowd, the amnesty crowd, the Bust America Open crowd. That's what Univision is.
Since I can remember.
Univision is the Al Jazeera of the Hispanic world.
Univision has always has said, hey, learn your rights. This is your guys' as immigrants' rights. Now, hold on. Why do we need why do the immigrants, the illegal immigrants, supposed to have their own rights? They're not supposed to have any rights at all.
No, that's correct. All right. Look, I hear you, man. We're all upset. Please go to michaelsavage.com. Look at the top story on the left. Deadly diseases crossing border with illegals. It's a public health crisis unlike any we've ever seen. On the right side, there's a picture of the American flag, and it's the YouTube of the woman. I play the Italian woman, the Sicilian woman, that speech. Is this what it will take to awaken America? The Wall Street Journal is saying the IRS scandal is worse than Watergate. Down in the list, the IRS emails are on there. And now we have the charlatan getting up and telling Iraq they need a unity government. So I can't say I rest my case. I will just present my case on a daily basis. You know, Hillary gave interviews the other day on CNN and Fox, and they were a disaster. They were underwhelming, they're calling them. They went on to two heavily promoted interviews with Teddy Bear Brett, who will never, ever recover from this embarrassing performance, and Scarface on Fox. And the ratings were lower than they were the day before Hillary. Hillary is not going to be elected. Hillary is unelectable. Doesn't mean she might not win. I said she won't be elected. I didn't say she wouldn't be president. She might be coronated the way Obama was. She's not electable. The people don't like her. They've had enough. 8 years of the Clintons is enough for anyone, even Democrats. They don't want another old party hack that they've seen before. They don't want more of those staring, psychotic eyes. They don't want any more of that shrill insanity. They've had enough of her. Of course, Fox can't get enough of her, but the people have had enough of her. And the question is, who on the Democrat side has the guts and the money to run against her in the primary? Would they be any different? Would they be any better? There are rumors that Jerry Brown may jump in at age 98 and run in the primaries against Hillary. That would be interesting to see if he can do it without his wife telling him what to say. I hope so. I mean, I hope he can may present a little more centrist image than Hillary. I don't know who else could run. I know who's going to run on the Democrat side. Maybe Jesse Jackson could come back for an encore appearance and give us another marble mouth double talk job. So we don't know. We're moving into 14s, midterms, then you got the 16s, big terms, and now we got Iraq on our hands all over again. There we go again with the very same crowd calling for blood again. Paul Wolfowitz, there they go again. The very same crowd that got us in Iraq the first place have come back from the swamp. And there they are again. And anyone who criticizes them and says it's the neocons, they scream it's anti-Semitism. I mean, I've heard that before. I've heard that racket used before. I don't go for it. I don't buy it. You know, there are people whose policies transcend their race. And in this case, it has nothing to do with race. It has to do with stupid policies that caused the disaster before. And they're going to cause a disaster again. So you say, well, what would you do? Okay, Savage, we heard your point. You don't want American troops. You don't want American bombers in northern Iraq. By the way, that's the old Sunni triangle. If you want to go all the way back to the Iraq war, and you want to hear what I said about the Sunni triangle back in 04 and 05, you could probably find it on YouTube. It was not a very, very pleasant prognosis for the Sunni triangle, and I had some choice words. I said, fence it off. Fence the entire Sunni triangle off. Give the people 3 days to leave and then bomb the entire Sunni triangle because it's never, ever going to be peaceful, ever. Now, I was roundly criticized for it. I was called everything under the sun. Well, here we go again. The disease is back. After how many men were lost, how many limbs were lost, to take each town, each village, each house, house by house, our men sacrificed their blood and their guts. And look what's happening now because of Obama's cut-and-run policies. Now, don't be fooled by the Democrats who are lying again, like they called Benghazi a stunt over and over again until they pulled the so-called mastermind out of a hat. Now, it wasn't the stunt anymore. Now, they got serious about Benghazi. They'll tell you that Obama really didn't cut-and-run because he wanted to. They'll tell you that Malaki did not want our troops to stay there. That's a lot of rubbish. Didn't matter what malarkey wanted. What mattered was what Obama wanted, not what malarkey wanted. But if you want to go all the way back, how come malarkey did not give us so much as a barrel of oil for the $3 trillion in plain dollars and cents that it cost us to put that stooge in power? How come this government did not extract one barrel of oil in exchange for the $3 trillion that bankrupted this nation? I can answer the question. The answer is Saudi Arabia and the Seven Sister Oil Companies. You want the answer? I'll make it real simple. Right in the barrelhead. We're talking over a cracker barrel in an old American town. How come after $3 trillion and all the American blood on that rotten, stinking, ancient soil, we didn't get so much as a barrel of oil from those despicable Shiites? How come they didn't give us a barrel of oil? It's because this government said, don't give us a barrel of oil. Give us nothing. We don't want to see the price of oil drop. No, we don't want to see it drop. We want to see oil go up in value. Now, maybe this is too much for everybody. I realize world events can give you a major league migraine. I mean, they really can. And then people withdraw into themselves. They pull back. They say, hey, look, the guy is right. I know what he's saying is right, but it's heartbreaking to listen to it. I give up. I don't want to listen to it anymore. And that's why I got to tell you the truth. Talk radio is in a free fall right now, not just my show. All shows are down, even if some are doing better than others, and mine is doing quite well indeed. Talk radio is not doing very well. Do you know why? The people are overloaded. They have had enough of the government doublespeak. They cannot take it anymore. Remember what Orwell wrote about doublespeak? You're getting doublespeak from double barrels every day of the week, not only from Obama, but all of his talking heads. When in your lifetime have you ever seen politicians giving speeches at college graduations to the extent that you see them now? All left-wing fanatics. When have you ever seen politicians giving speeches? Where are our poets? Where are our scientists? Where are our architects? Where are our bridge engineers? Where are the leading military men? Why are they not giving commencement addresses? Why is it these rotten, stinking left-wing party hacks like out of the Soviet Union? That's the last time I ever saw anything like this. In the ex-Soviet Union, it was the Soviet Politburo members who gave the speeches at the colleges to brainwash the next generation of drug addicts and sex maniacs sitting there in the audience with their caps and gowns, waiting to run out to their next orgy and their next drug. That's what went on in the ex-Soviet Union, without the drugs and the orgies. It was the Politburo people who gave the speeches at commencement speeches. Where are our leading intellectuals in our country today? Why have you not heard anything from anyone other than a left-wing party hack? When? Who gave a speech at a commencement address who was not a politician? Well, if you can name one, it was probably another left-wing fanatic who pronounces the party's policies to be correct, politically perfect. So those are some of my observations. I think I'm going to switch to another topic in a minute. I think I'm going to switch to vacation sites in the world that you've gone to that you recommend. I think that might be good. I think I'm going to give up on politics for a segment. So, Robert, open up a line or two to that. Given that I am jaundiced on going anywhere in the world, that maybe I've been to too many beautiful places, and after all, what's beauty at the end of the day but a good night's rest and a good meal? I mean, I don't need to travel for a good night's rest and a good meal. I don't know what I'm going to see anywhere that I can't see on YouTube or on television or in the movies. I mean, what am I? Let's go down the list together. So go to Europe. I went to Europe in 1963. I was awed by it. And then I came home because Europe was closed after that. They closed it down. I mean, the one thing for me on that trip, now that I'm reviewing my journals, that really, or it's not even in the journals, is I went to the Vatican. To me, oh, wow, I'm going to go to the Vatican. I'm in Rome. I was a young kid. Get to Europe, Paris, Rome, blah, blah, blah. I get to the Vatican, and I climb this labyrinth of steps around and around and around and around, 30 minutes up the steps to the roof of the Vatican. And what's there when I get to the top? A Coca-Cola stand. I remember writing in my journal, that's the end of the road for me. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. So, known gang members are being released on the border by Obama. The Homeland Security is paying for illegals to be escorted into the USA, many of them with diseases. You look at the top of Drudge Report. Take a look at the pictures. No room left for homeless Texans. Look at the top of MichaelSavage.com. Look at the list of diseases they're bringing in. And the amnesty is here because there's no two-party system. The people do not want this. The country is being overrun by gang members under the guise of little girls from the Honduras. Homeland Security should be impeached for doing this to us. Obama is the real reason behind it. He's the snake's head. Make no mistake about it. He appeals now only to a very, very small pressure groups like La Raza and the LGBT crowd and a few others, the Manufacturing Association, who want the cheap labor. But I want to ask you, you mean five-year-old girls are going to work now for the manufacturers? Why are they allowing them in? And that's what I'm saying. Let's be real here. The people are tuning out of politics like you've never seen. Not only from the political machine itself, meaning the ratings of Congress are lower than ever. They're turning off political shows. Make no mistake about it. Hillary made an appearance on Bret Baier's show. He'll never recover from his pathetic performance as a sycophant. Scarface is up and down. One day she's good, the next day she's back to being a Democrat hack. And the ratings were horrible. Her book sales are only the 20% of Palin's after the first week. Clinton's book sales were only 20% of Palin's after the first week, by the way. Does that not tell you that the people actually see what's going on? It tells me that. I can't wait till my book comes out in October because I'm going to ask you to show America that we can beat Hillary. That's right. We're going to send the message if we can beat Hillary sales, but that's a long time from now. But what I want to talk about for a while are some vacation spots. Because many people listening to the show are leading their lives as they should. And I brought up Sicily earlier. In the midst of the worst violence and crime in Sicily, the people still had to get up every day, go to work, raise a family, and make a life for themselves. And so do we.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hot Talk 560, KSL.
There are no good options. There are no good options remaining. This is a culmination of failure after failure of this administration. But for us to do nothing now will ensure this base for terrorism. Over 100 we are tracking have already come back to the United States of America. There are hundreds and hundreds who are leaving not only the battlefield in Syria.
Turn off the warmonger. That's McCain the lunatic. Taking time out from his busy television exposure to appear in Congress. I mean, it's McCain's boys who just broke into Iraq. They came from Syria. Would he have to be a genius to figure it out? The murderers that are cutting their swath through northern Iraq came out of Syria. They're the rebels that McCain and Obama and the others want to give weapons to and fund. So instead of sending them weapons, they went and took them, including some U.S. tanks, that's all. And that's why people are saying the hell with them all. I don't care about politics. I just had enough of it. All I care about is my own self, my family going on vacation. I don't blame you, really. I told you that. So let's hear some of your vacation ideas. Mike on WABC in New York City, what's the best vacation idea?
Hello, Michael. I don't know if it's an idea. The question I have is your keen insight of places beyond the facades of buildings. Have you ever been to Havana, Cuba?
Well, now that the Cuban Superman is dead, I mean, there's no reason to go there. That's an inside joke. I'm sorry. That's for a very small percentage of the audience who may have seen The Godfather. But I wouldn't want to go onto Castro's backyard. I mean, why would? What's the appeal of Cuba?
I just said it's my impression that the bay in Havana. Supposed to be a beautiful, romantic kind of a place, and
Miami is probably. I would say Miami would be a far better bet. You don't stand a chance of winding up in a prison camp.
That's true.
I mean, if you want to see sugarcane fields and old men driving 1952 Buicks, go ahead. If you're an aficionado of old 50s cars, I suppose there's a reason to go to Cuba. But it's a sad place to visit by what I've seen. And I grew up on Cuban music, and I used to listen to it and love it and go to all of the dances that had great Cuban musicians. I can name them like the back of my hand. But after Castro, the island became a prison camp. And I don't know why anyone would go there other than for that. I'm not trying to be facetious. It's a very sad statement. People go to Cuba for the underage prostitutes. Did you know that?
That's what
communism has brought. Housewives have to prostitute themselves for a few extra dollars. That's what communism brought to the island. While him and his brother live like pigs there, ruling the roost. Thanks for the call. I want to see water splashing against go to Miami. It's much nicer. I was there 2 weeks ago. I mean, if you want humidity, go to Miami. You want warm water? No, I mean, Miami's beautiful. I don't know why anyone would want to ever go to that hellhole of Cuba anyway to begin with. What, there's no other choices in the Caribbean but Cuba? What for? I myself am going to take a vacation. And I promise myself I will. But I'm telling you, I'm going to swear to God after this last trip with the forced landing in Memphis. All right, there was a reason for it. I did visit Graceland, and then I visited, I saw I almost said Obama. I went down to Memphis, so we rented a car for the 5 hours, and I saw Graceland. I got to see the Elvis hot dog, the Elvis burger, the Elvis shoe, the Elvis cough drop, the Elvis bib, the Elvis diaper, the Elvis depends. It was unbelievable. The sheeple walking around there. Elvis is airplanes. Elvis is this. But no, it was the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial that got to me in front of the Lorraine Motel. It was one of the life-changing moments of my adult life. I don't mean my life, I don't mean in a catastrophic way, but it changed my perceptions of a lot of things. Standing there, I was awed by it. I really was awed by it. I mean, you think about the effect that Martin Luther King Jr. had. So travel can have a profound effect upon us, but I don't know what traveling for a... The only reason I could see traveling would be for a purpose. A wedding. A birth. A baptism, a bar mitzvah, a funeral, someone's in the hospital. Then I see a business reason. But what's the point of traveling if you live in a beautiful place? I get up every day, I look at the bay. I throw old bagels to the birds just before they're moldy. I wouldn't even give a moldy bagel to a bird just before they turn stale. And you should see those seagulls. I threw them some old roast beef. One of them got it. Usually they come over. You don't even see them. They're such smart birds. It's amazing to watch even a common seagull. They're not so common. What a machine that is. What a remarkable machine a seagull is. You'll watch them dive for something, how they can turn and how they just move so smoothly. And usually if I throw some food in the bay and they're not here, you know, I count like 1,000. Within 5 seconds, they were nowhere around, on no roof. They'll come out of nowhere. And they could come in and die for it. The other day, I had some old roast beef that I didn't even want to give Teddy. It didn't even have the heart for that. I have a lot of trouble giving away things. I mean, I give money away like I did to the Elephant Fund last week because that kills me. Well, like clothing, I don't know what it is. I have closets full of stuff I never wear. So the other day, I went in and I said, okay, this is enough already. Stop. Start on the left side of the closet, the right side of the closet. Work your way in. So I was embarrassed. I was looking at pants I hadn't worn for 10 years. Do you believe the stuff we hold on to? 10 years, they're sitting there more. I knew exactly when I used to wear them by the years in radio, maybe 12 years ago. And I put them in a stack. Some of them are like brand new. Some of them had tags on them, brand new. I gave them all away to a local church, all of them. I didn't even ask for a receipt. I'm not Hillary Clinton. Remember they gave away socks? Socks, $2. Underwear, $1.50. Remember her and Bill? Underwear, 19 cents. I don't want to get graphic, but they did. They took a write-off. Everything they gave away. I just gave the whole lot away. I felt cleansed. So with food, I don't know, because I grew up kind of frugally and poor. I don't like to throw food out. I eat it when I way past I shouldn't. I mean, it's crazy. I can afford anything, right? It's not that I'm cheap. I just don't want to throw food out. It's like from the European parents and, you know, you shouldn't throw food away. That's how I was raised. But even I had enough already with the roast beef. It wasn't exactly green the other day, but I gave it a smell and Teddy looked at me and I said, no, Teddy, you're not getting this. I walked out with three slices of slimy roast beef out onto the deck and I threw it out in the bay. There was not a bird in sight. Within 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, a seagull came in and with one swoop grabbed the three slices and gulped the whole thing down. I said, wow, did that seagull hit the quinella here? You know what that was like to a seagull that's used to getting a bagel now and again off my balcony, off my deck, to wind up with three slices of rotten roast beef? Wow. That's like hitting the lottery. I got to tell you, he hit the seagull. He hit the seagull lottery. I don't know if there was nothing left. There wasn't even a cent left for the other birds. And so I live near the water. Water calms me down. I'm an Aries, which is a fire sign. I know many of you don't believe in any of that, but I'm a fire sign. And water sedates me in a certain way that mountains can't. And if I am right next to the water and I sit for 20 minutes, 20 seconds, 2 minutes, and I stare at the bay, it's an ever-changing landscape. It's never the same. See, it's never the same landscape. It changes all the time. And I'm very sensitive to light, and I'm very sensitive to wind, and I'm very sensitive to sound. And so, you know, if you're into that, and I live between the mountains and the sea, as I once dreamed of doing. I'm reading my journals from 1963, 4, 5 in Mallorca and traveling in Europe. And I remember dreaming, boy, when I get older, if I have the money, I'm going to live next, you know, where the pine trees run into the sea. Well, I woke up the other day reading my journals, and I said, holy God, I'm living my dream. But you don't know it unless you know it. And I told you that's what's happening with me looking at my journals from 1963, 4, 5, is that you don't even know what you're living in until you look back. They say don't look back, right? The Bible says, gives you an adage, a warning. Don't look back, you'll turn to a pillar of salt. Well, I haven't turned to a pillar of salt quite yet, and I hope I don't. It is somewhat emotionally confusing to read the journals from, I can't believe, over 50 years ago. It's hard to believe the things I was writing. It was like, dear reader, one day I know you'll be reading my words. I was talking to my audience of today. Dear reader, I know one day I'll be read and listened to. I didn't, you know, I was just a kid, basically, dreaming of reaching the point that I've reached right now. And I'm saying to myself, okay, but how do you know that? Well, now I know it. It's not like, okay, now I'm resting on my laurels and I don't need to do anything anymore. No, I need to keep doing what I'm doing. That's the point. It doesn't mean like now I can stop doing what I'm doing. But I've been so future-oriented all my life. I have pushed myself all the time, every day, 24 hours a day, in my dreams, constantly moving forward, constantly pushing myself. And you say, well, what's this all about? What am I doing here? What am I trying to do? So now I'm here. I'm doing this show. It's a political show. I'm saying to myself, what would the 22-year-old kid who wrote those idealistic journals think of me if they were listening to this show today? The young Michael listening to this show of the older Michael. Here's this guy railing on about an out-of-control criminal presidency, a gang that's running the country as opposed to a party, the meltdown of our opposition, the meltdown of our newspapers. What would a 22-year-old be saying if he had a brain? Even a kid who was smoking pot occasionally can see reality. Someone who's studying, who wants to be something, can open his eyes once in a while and say, all right, let me see what's going on in the world. What the hell would I say about my show? I don't know what I'd say about my show. All I can say to you is that I do the best show I can. Politics to vacations, because I'm, you know, it's funny. Like today is the, holy God, the 19th of June. If I go into my journals and I look up the 19th of June, 1963, I could tell you where I was. I could tell you where I was on the 19th of June going back all those years from my pocket calendars. I've been obsessive about it. But I realize what you can do in a week. In a week, you can go to Paris, London, Rome. And you can see an awful lot of things. If you've not seen them, I suppose it's a wonderful thing. But you got to remember that the years after that, I spent the early 70s, all of the 70s and into the mid-80s, going to the South Pacific Islands as a plant collector. People don't even know that part of my background. I rarely, if ever, talk about it. And I funded my own research because I was 25 years ahead of science. There was no money for it. I did what I could to raise money, raise a family. And then I would rush off to do research because there was no money for it from the government. I had something driving me like insanity to, you know, rescue the plants of the rainforest and the knowledge of the plants for healing. And I did a lot of that. And my collections, my plant collections, are in six of the major plant museums in the world. They, you know, I never talk about it. It's like, oh, wow, that's great. Okay, well, it really is. Big part of my life. That was my dream at that time. Six major herbaria have Michael's plant collections in them. And what's ironic is one of the herbaria in Kew Gardens in London I cannot visit because of the despicable, backwards, anti-American, anti-conservative, anti-white government of England, the one that caters to the radical Muslims in Londonistan, I cannot even access my own plant collections in Kew Gardens in London. How's that? While a terrorist screaming for Sharia law and the overthrow of England is welcomed by the Barbies, the pansy Barbies there now. But my collections are also in Germany. They're in the Bishop Museum in Honolulu, and I think in Indonesia. I don't know where else. I've forgotten. So I did many years of very intensive travel, and I hated every minute of it. You say, gee, that sounds exciting. That must have been amazing. Wow. You were in the deep Fiji Islands before there was Fiji water? Yeah, 1969, 70, 71. Yeah, I was there before they sucked the aquifer dry. You talk about a scandal. How can they take so much water out of an island? And is there anything left for the people to drink? I mean, you talk about a government selling the people out. In my, how do they get that much water out of an aquifer? You know, aquifers are not finite. I mean, are finite, right? They're not infinite resources. How do they get that much water out of the Fiji aquifer without denuding the entire aquifer, I ask myself? I mean, I never thought of it. Oh, you're just jealous that you didn't rob the water from the Fijian people. No, I'm not jealous. I didn't bring in Fiji water. First of all, I wouldn't have done it. I had opportunities to buy land in Israel when I was there in 1979, and I wouldn't buy it, and I knew it would be worth a fortune. I said, I'm never going to capitalize on the Holy Land. I was up in Sfat, up in the Golan Heights. It was a wrecked artist community. I took one look, and I said, this will be worth a fortune. They told me you could buy this whole block of buildings for $12,000. I said, I'm not going to capitalize on the Holy Land. I wouldn't do it. I was in Honolulu. I found a petroglyph in the stream in the back of the woods in Hawaii. Petroglyph is a very sacred object to the Hawaiian people. I picked it up out of the water. I saw the running water. I looked at the petroglyph. I knew it was a museum piece. I put it right back where I found it. I didn't want to capitalize on the spirits of Hawaii. So what I'm saying to you is I've been to a lot of places and I've seen a lot of things, and I was very sensitive to my environment, every environment that I was ever in. Am I a saint? No, I'm an American. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's 54 minutes after the hour. It's the Savage Nation. We're talking about vacations now. Where would you recommend we go to give us a break from the criminal regime that's ruining America? When I was 1 in 20, I heard a wise man say, give crowns and pounds and guineas, but not your heart away. Give pearls away and rubies, but keep your fancy free. But I was 1 in 20, no use to talk to me. When I was 1 in 20, I heard him say again, the heart out of the bosom was never given in vain. 'Tis paid with sighs of plenty and sold for endless rue. And I am 2 and 20, and oh, 'tis true, 'tis true. Now, I realize that if A.A. Housman were alive today, he would be laughed off the university campus as a dead old white male because he doesn't have the flavor, let's say, of someone who speaks less than 50 words of English and is invited to the White House. In fact, the fewer words of English that you speak, the more popular you apparently are with the First Lady. Yesterday, she hugged an immigrant from Guatemala who became a citizen. I don't think he even understood a word she said, but that didn't stop her from giving him a hug and blessing him to be a new American. But in his own way, A.E. Housman was struggling with his probably 150,000 words of English vocabulary to transmit his ideas of what it is to be 21 years old and not to fall in love. Great poet, by the way. Ever read to an athlete dying young? Oh, my God, we're down to 37 seconds and I haven't gotten to my vacations. Look at these ideas. Michael, it says go to the Himalayas, Italy, Thailand, Hot Springs, Virginia, Maine. Go to Missouri. I like to say Missouri as a northerner. It gives me a thrill. Another one saying take a vacation in the hills of Afghanistan. Thank you very much. I'll reserve that for the folks at the Weekly Standard. I suggest they parachute into the hills of Afghanistan. Maybe they'd like to see the opium crop in bloom. It might mellow them out. I think Bill Kristol and the gang should parachute into the hills of Afghanistan to see the spring bloom.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Look, you have drug cartels, and especially if you look at El Salvador and Honduras and Guatemala, there are vast regions of those countries controlled by drug cartels. And let me just say, fed with our guns, with our money, and with our insatiable appetite for the drugs.
That's the slimy Luis Gutierrez blaming the surge of infected illegals on our insatiable appetite for drugs. I talked about it ad infinitum for 20 years, and now it's reached a point of no return because we have a gang that has broken our border and is flooding us with contraband, with diseases, with illegals, and there's no opposition because even Rupert Murdoch, who appears to be senile now in his statements there, they're senile. They're senile. The statements are senile. Rupert Murdoch comes out and says that we need immigration for our economy, that it will save us if we open our borders and we grant amnesty. Then he comes up with a bigger lie, which he's famous for. If you look at the New York Post and you see it's nothing but a porno rag, he says, he has the nerve to say that 40% of our CEOs are immigrants. Well, sure, that's true, but how many of them had Spanish as their first language? How many of them had no education whatsoever? How many of them came here illegally, Rupert? Come on, you know you're just pulling our leg. You know, you can fool some of the people some of the time. You've been very well using cheesecake since your early days in the outback of Australia with cheesecake on your papers, but, you know, way past it. Well, no, actually, I take that back when you consider that Megyn Kelly and the other skirts. It's the same thing. He's still using cheesecake. Some of them are smart. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised that behind the cheesecake there's some brains. You'd be shocked to find that out. But look, here we are watching this meltdown under this this regime, and we stopped talking about it in the last hour because I did it, and that's what I wanted to do. So I wanted to talk about vacation sites around the world that you'd recommend going to. For you, not for me. For my audience, not for me. For people in the audience who still want to travel, not for me. Thank God it's summer. Most of the children are gone from the neighborhood. I don't have to put up with listening to lacrosse balls hitting fences. And, you know, it's unbelievable. It's peaceful. They're all somewhere, probably in, like, lacrosse camp. That's the latest sport. The borders are being melted down. And I look on the bumper sticker of the average white suburban neighbor. It says, it doesn't say kick the illegals out. It doesn't say stop the surge of diseases coming across our border. It doesn't say no troops in Iraq. It says Monsanto, the enemy of America. Or keep Tahoe blue. That's white America for you. Keep Tahoe blue in California. I mean, I don't know anyone who wants to keep Tahoe brown. You know anyone who wants to turn Tahoe brown? I don't know anyone who's polluting Tahoe. That's the liberal do-gooder. Keep Tahoe blue. Oh, wow, you're sacred. That's really brave of you. That's a big thing at the local club. So I'm making a commitment on this show that if I do take a vacation, and I might, the only place I will go will be in the perimeter, under the parameters of nowhere farther than my Chevy van will take me. In other words, I'm not leaving the state. The furthest east I will go is in Klein Village, Nevada. The furthest west I will go will be the San Francisco Zoo. The farthest north that I will go in my van will be a day trip on Highway 1 up the coast to one of those horrendous oyster joints where I almost died last summer. And those contaminated garbage oysters. I'm going to sit and look at the oysters. I drive around. I walk on San Francisco's waterfront. See restaurants. You see them stuffing their gullets with oysters. It's mainly like tourists from Japan. They lined up around the block near the ferry terminal. Oysters and champagne and beer and it's out of a George Gross painting. Yacking and stuffing their mouth. Oysters. Poison. Poison, contaminated poison, full of heavy metals. I don't understand. People are that stupid? Who would eat that garbage? Even seagulls prefer a bagel to oysters today. They know that they're contaminated. But all kidding aside, I mean, I go north on the road there. I would probably take food with me. You can eat one of those blue glass things along the California coast. They're very nice, like the XC Cove. I've been there. All attitudes. Like, it's from Prohibition era, all those places along the Highway 1. They're all hangovers from when their father had, rum-running joints. That's what they are. If you drive up Highway 1 out of Marin County along the coast in California and you go to these seafood places along the water, They were all built during the Prohibition era. They were receiving drugs from Canada, alcohol in boats. So they still have the attitudes like their sons who inherited are like the same types. Mean, angry. They treat you like you're not a customer, like you're bothering them if you ask for an oyster. And the places are full of yellow jackets come at you. They dive at you like like hail. The yellow jackets dive at you. The seagulls dive at you. No, so forget it. I'm not going up the California coast. The only town I really want to go to in Northern California, which I haven't been to in many years, I loved it when I first got here. It's a horrendous ride. Mendocino. It looks just like New England. For those of you who are not from here, you'll never get. It's horrible. A miserable ride. You go blind from the light brakes driving out there, like the trees in the sun. And let's say you're driving at 50 miles an hour on that road, going in, toward the... It's like the light brakes coming at your windshield. You can go out of your mind. You can get petite mal epilepsy driving there. But once you get there, it's nice. It's like a combination of Alfred Hitchcock's Birds and like a pastoral painting of Provincetown. But the people are... That's the problem. Once you get there it is, the nastiest people on earth. Snotty, nasty, anti-family monsters took over that town. Anyway, yeah, you could see I really love traveling. You can see why I don't go anywhere. I mean, if I want good food, I don't have to go farther than Sausalito or San Francisco. If I want good food, I don't have to go farther than a Basque restaurant I go to. If I want... Why do I want to go anywhere? I don't understand why people travel. I don't understand it. Well, when you're young, okay, I get it. I told you I'm going through my early journals where I traveled to Europe for the first time, and my eyes were wide open. Wow, here's Paris. Wow, I'm in London. Oh, wow, I'm in Rome. You know, and it ends with me selling real estate on Grand Bahama Island, completely depressed. I dreamed of being Hemingway, and I wound up Willie Loman. But that's the way of all flesh. But I left that island. I knew it would develop into some monstrously great resort. My friend was in the real estate business. He invited me there. I made some quick money, and I hated being a salesman. I hated it. I was in real estate on the island. I'm talking 1965. Can you believe this? I wrote in my journal, I know I'll be a very rich man in a few years if I stay here, but I'd rather die than stay here and sell my soul. Well, what a mistake I made, because it took me 30 years to make up for that error. it's like real estate in New York. I remember I was living in New York in the mid-80s, a horrible teaching job. I had to leave California, and I was hanging around with Russians at the time. They were the only ones who would befriend me. They were immigrants, and I was sort of an immigrant to New York at the time. They were nice people. They were all very smart people, and they were real hustlers, I got to tell you. So they were saying to me, Mike, we're buying tenements in Harlem. I said, are you crazy? I mean, you need an armed guard to collect the rent. They were afraid of nothing, these people. They bought these tenements in Harlem for very little money, I mean, because it was a war zone. Like, they knew what they were doing, right? I'm giving an example. I mean, people come here, and they make something of themselves. So you can still do it in this country. Which is why it's the greatest country on earth, maybe. Maybe, if this communist does not stop, maybe. Maybe. And that's why I asked at the beginning of the last hour, I mean, I told you the myth of Icarus. I said, when will he finally exceed himself, and when will he fly so close to the sun that the wax will melt off his fabricated wings and he will fall to earth? When? When will this happen? I don't know. We've been waiting for it a very long time, but you see, he's got Murdoch's skirts behind him. He's got Murdoch behind him saying he's been restrained. I mean, so it's very hard to see how a man like this, such a sham, such an Icarus sham like Obama, can get away with it. You say, well, how can he get away with it? Well, when you have Murdoch's skirts on Fox supporting amnesty, and you have Murdoch himself supporting amnesty saying Obama's showing restraint, I wouldn't sit and hold my breath to see when Icarus is going to lose his feathers, by the way. That's why I ask you, where's a good vacation site? Me, I'm going nowhere. Nowhere. No, I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm trying not even to go over to the bridge to San Francisco lately. Even that's becoming a pain in the neck. I get there, I can't take the bums around the ferry terminal. I mean, I like certain things in the city, don't get me wrong. Don't count the opera amongst them. I can do without that. All the phonies with the opera. Oh, wow, I really want to rub shoulders with Willie Brown in a tuxedo. Yeah, that's worth a trip over the bridge for sure. San Francisco's elite. All the out-of-towners with their leftover dresses. I can't believe these women. I don't want to get into it because I sound like a misogynist. You ever seen these charity events that these hags go to? I mean, if I had shoulders like these women had, I wouldn't wear a shoulderless dress. I'd wear like a football uniform. I mean, now when I go to a San Francisco charity event, which I haven't gone to for years, I gave up on the museum when I saw which phonies they were. I can understand why the burqa was invented by the Arabs, truthfully. The day they start wearing burqas at these charity events, I might decide to come back. I mean, because until then, I don't want to be there. But as you can see, I have a certain healthy dislike for everything around me, and that's what keeps me going. Don't think it's all negative. It really isn't. I love my dog. I love feeding the seagulls. And let's see, what else? I'm sorry, that's about it. 8 5 5 No, it doesn't sound real negative. I got to be careful. You have to, like, get on the air. Like, I hear something to get on the air. Hi, I can't wait to be on the broadcast air today. Wowee, I have so many, a stack of so many stories. You know, right away, he's gasping for ideas when someone comes on like that. Oh, I can't wait for another great day in broadcasting. Oh, I'm a stack. Can't wait to get... The first thing you learn is you don't tell anyone about the stack. You deliver the stack. Little by little, you don't tell them what you're going to do. You do it. Or when they get on the air, right, they give you the number or the phone number. What are you giving the phone number for? No one knows who you are. How do you start a radio show? Here's the phone number. They're waiting for your phone number. Well, they want a party line they're going to call? What do you mean? Here's your phone number. Give them something to call about. Then give the phone number. I think I got to start giving tips to people in talk radio since the business is in such trouble. Really? It's not doing good. People turning off from politics. The approval rating of Congress is at a 41-year low. And because of that, and because of the crimes and misdemeanors of Obama and his left-wing fanatics, people are even turning off talk radio because they don't want to hear it anymore. They cannot take it. They can't. They'd rather get drunk or high or stuff their faces than listen to anything political. Not that they're stupid. You see, you can keep saying, oh, they're stupid all you want. They may not be so stupid. They just don't want it anymore. They'd rather get drunk or high or have sex or stuff their face than listen to any more about Obama. Do you know that? So anyway, we're going to talk about vacations for a while on the Savage Nation. I'm starting to feel good now in the third hour. How'd this happen? 2 hours like slogging through a jungle of a swamp with asps and snakes and crows pecking at my eyes. The illegals and the diseases and what he's done to us and the IRS. It's awful. Now I feel better thinking about a vacation that I'm not going to take. So the minute I come back, I'll take your calls right here on the Savage Nation, S-A-V-A-G-E. Mark it down. Find the station you're listening to, and I'll take your calls in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Viva USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all.
See the USA in a Prius.
Rode along a levee.
All right, turn it off. I grew up on this. Dr. Kildare, USA in a Chevrolet, Colgate, everything was American. Now I'm living in a land I don't even recognize. So I have 1.95 million page views on my website. 373,575 unique visitors in March. The show is doing well. I'm a man living the dreams of my youth, and I'm miserable because I can't believe the country is going to disappear in my lifetime. You know, I'm frightened. I mean, you don't understand that I'm talking from a historical perspective. What I've seen in my life, I've never seen before in my life. I've never seen it happen in a Western democracy. I've never seen a Mussolini take over a country in my life. I've read about it. All right, so that's why we're talking about vacations. You know, the reason I brought up Sicily earlier and told you about Falcone's assassination in 1992 and how the broken heart of the widow of a policeman guard was so heart-rending. If you missed it, you really missed something. It was one of my best openings. Her crying while reading a eulogy to her husband over the casket cut through the hearts of everyone in Sicily, and they rose up and they demanded that the corrupt government do something. And the government did something. And the point I'm making is, this country is becoming very much like Sicily right now. The corruption in America is very akin to what happened not only to Sicily, but other nations that lost their democracy. And if you think that this is the end of it, you're mistaken. We are in the early stages of our decline, not in the late stages. You haven't seen anything like what's coming. Because not only is there corruption that is rampant, But we have on top of that the influx of tens of millions of non-English speaking individuals, many of whom are infected with diseases right now. That's an additional element to the destruction of a nation unlike any I've ever seen. Even a corrupt nation wouldn't permit that. Even a corrupt nation would not permit that. And yet this administration is so corrupt that they not only permit this, they invite it. But the point that I'm trying to make is a positive one, as depressing as that may sound, because you can throw your hands up and say, hey, there he goes again, I'm giving up. I thought he was talking about vacations, I'm turning it off. No, the point is a positive one. That even in the midst of the meltdown of Sicily over the decades, the corruption, the crime, the bombings, the disaster, people still had to get up in the morning. They made their coffee. They went to work. They went to church. They raised their families. They tended their own garden, and they kept their nation going. And they kept praying for a better tomorrow, and we have to do that. You can't just give up and say it's over. These rotten, stinking bastards one day will be gone from us. One day these bastards will get their due. Not from the people, probably from God. As I said in my own lifetime, when one of my relatives was robbing everybody in the family, and I won't mention his name, he's not with us anymore, he robbed everybody in the family under a fake investment scheme. A real low-life, degenerate crook. But charming, very charming. My mother came to me because he robbed her of $75,000 30 years ago, her life savings. Basically, she wanted me to do what they do in Sicily. She didn't say it, but that's what she wanted. I said to her, Mom, listen to me. Let God seek vengeance because I'm not going to do it. Well, God did. God took care of him. In my lifetime, I saw that rotten piece of garbage get his due. He lost everything and went to jail. So don't think that there is no return on such a negative investment. These SOBs who are killing us, I can guarantee you, in your lifetime, will get what's their due. I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere. It's the Savage Nation. Talk about vacations.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, since we're talking about travel, we're playing a little opera in order to forget the opera being played by Obama and his charlatan advisors, and to not talk about the myth of Sisyphus. We're going to talk about travel and where to go, and people have different ideas. All right, turn it off. I'm not even in the mood. Give me a headache. I remember going to Rome for the first time in 1960. I have the journal right in front of me. Would you believe it? Because I'm having them type right now. 1963. Let me read you what I wrote. Can I do this? It's so not talk radio. Here, Monday, July 21st, 1963, Tuesday morning, 1 a.m. Michael Savage. I've been in Rome for 3 days. Haven't done very much. Strange. I'm about to leave for Rotterdam. Strange life, isn't it? Here I am with about $13 left, a ticket back to the States on a ship sailing Friday from Rotterdam. In a country that I've never been to, and I have no apprehension. It's amazing what a little travel can do for one's personality. Now, here's an interesting paragraph to follow, then I'll take your calls. The Romans, or Italians, who reside in Rome are interesting. The men are very noble in appearance, ready with bold stares of appraisal for any female, the women similar. It took me a while to adjust to everybody looking at each other, myself included, for I've been living in New York City, a terribly dehumanized, don't-look city. The stares in Rome are not really stares. They are simply what-kind-of-animal-are-you type looks and are easily adapted to. It's very interesting. Some good writing mixed in with a lot of, youthful drivel. It's a long time ago as well. I haven't been back. The one thing I did notice about Rome at the time that I came back to New York with was the knowledge that their pizza stank. The New York pizza was far better. The Italians can't make pizza. I don't even think they invented it. I think it was invented probably by, I don't know who. But their pizza was awful, dreadful. Doughy, cheesy. I remember the best pizza I ever ate in my life was years later in 75 in Marblehead, Massachusetts. The Greeks had the pizza thing knocked up. Oh, they made the best pizza, the Greeks. Thin, the crust. Whew, was that good. No, but the Roman pizza was, I couldn't wait to get back to New York for a triangle of, hot cheese burning my palate. I don't eat pizza much anymore. But, man, I remember when you'd eat it. I mean, that was pizza in those days. It was so hot that you'd burn your... If you couldn't burn your palate with a piece of pizza, it was no good. I mean, the intent was not to burn your palate. You understand that. But if you couldn't, like, slap the triangle back onto the main body of the triangle, and then you had to go, ha, ha, and bite into it and, like, keep your palate away from it, that was pizza. But today, you know, like in California, everything's like limp. It's so perfectly made and artisan crafted. I mean, you could die from the lectures you get with everything. Every bite you take, our cows die happily. The dairy farmer went to Berkeley and got a PhD in agronomy and killed a cow with sustainable killing methods. The cheese was raised on a GMO Monsanto-free farm. I don't want to hear it. Just make a damn piece of pizza that I like, for God's sakes. I don't care about your sustainability. Can you make me a piece of pizza that's edible? It's like the same thing with spaghetti. How many years I've gone in restaurants, I don't know where they got this from. Oh, al dente. I don't like al dente. You can't digest starch that's uncooked. Every Italian restaurant I go into, I have to say in advance with the joke, oh, by the way, don't make it al dente, make it al softy. They look at me like I'm crazy. I said, you make it softer, I'll send it back. You know where al dente came from. It's not that it's a higher cuisine. They served it quicker. They boil it less. It cost them less to make al dente. It's in plain English. They cook it less. There's less energy required. And they get it out on your table and get you out of there faster. Because they already sold you the two drinks that you're going to have by the time the pasta arrives. They want you out the door. The number one profit item in a restaurant is the glass of wine. You know that. $11 Russian River Chardonnay. Wonderful. I can't wait for the migraine. Does it come with an anise on the side, or what exactly? Opium? What do you give me for that glass of wine that puts me into the psycho ward? Russian River Chardonnay. Tastes like a creamsicle with alcohol in it. Unbelievable. Yeah. See, that's not that I'm jaded. I'm not jaded. I don't need dual citizenship. I mean, I love America, but the thing is, I know exactly how to, like, you know, meander around the whole thing. Okay, so let's get to your calls. Okay, Paul, WABC in New York City, where would you like to go on vacation? What do you recommend?
I tell you, Miss Dr. Savage, I want you to go on the computer and look at the region of Puglia.
Oh, Puglia. There's a restaurant in New York on Little Italy called Puglia.
Exactly, but you got to go there. Come back.
Tell me why. Tell me what's in Puglia that I would love.
You will love. First, it's Padre Pio Monastery.
Puglia, but that's, for the people who are listening, it's spelled P-U-G-L-I-A. They should know that.
I hope so.
Yeah, Paul, you know where I want to go in Italy? Not Puglia. I want to go to Puglia.
No, doesn't exist.
No, I know, but it's a joke. Remember the old joke that the fathers would tell the sons, too much Puglia, no good?
Puglia, that Puglia, no good.
No, that wasn't a bad joke. I used to hear that as a kid from the Italian fathers. Is that still true, too much Puglia, no good as well, or not?
No, it's good now.
Beautiful call. You see, I love callers like. I think I'm going to just do travel for a few days. I'm finally feeling good on radio again. What can I do about the criminals that are running the country right now? Nothing. I'd rather talk about vacations for a while. We'll see what happens to the ratings. I'll try it and see. It could be a disaster. Either it'll go way up or go down. It's not going to stay the same, I'll tell you right now. Oh, no, it's either going to go through the roof or through the basement. It's as simple as that. I mean, the news is important, but how much can a man take, right? Let me read you another piece about traveling. I'm sailing to Marseille from Palma. Oh, this is when I had seasickness. The worst seasickness I've ever had in my life was on the ship from Palma de Mallorca to Marseille. Oh, my God. It's in here, too? It's not in here. I left this out. Okay. That was I saw the angel of death. You know, seasickness is so frightening, and I've done a lot of boating since then. That trip from Palma de Mallorca to Marseille. No, it wasn't Marseille, actually. It was to Barcelona. That's when I got sick. It was on one of those, like a ferry that's almost like a little ship. Well, it was in a, you know, like a little one of their storms. I don't know whether it's called over there. They call them different things in different parts of the world. Well, that thing bucked so badly. I remember going up on the deck, and one of the deckhands, I was so embarrassed, had to hold me over the side so I can, you know, whatever. Because I was so sickly, and as he was holding me over the side, and I looked up, as my guts were in the ocean, I looked up, I swear to God, I saw a black angel of death that looked exactly like a mythical creature, a mythological creature. you know, like wings 50 feet wide, black, coming to get me. How could that be from just from seasickness? I remember to this day. Thank God I never saw it again. I mean, there's no bats in the belfry, I can guarantee you that. But the thing is, I saw that thing from the seasickness. Oh, my God. I've done a lot of boating. I never got sick again. Never. I've been tossed around. I've driven in tossing seas. Never got sick like that. Probably the garbage food I ate. Who knows in those days? Kids don't know. Young people, you think they know what they do? They stuff themselves with anything. They think they're immortal. Wine, whatever. And then you get sick. You know, you don't know why. It's like doctors. They don't tell you that what you put in your mouth is going to affect your body. Anyway, so here we are. Murdoch skirts on Fox pushing amnesty. That's why he gets away with it. The Italians don't put up with them coming in from Africa. They stopped them. They stopped them cold. The Italian people spoke, and the government, as corrupt as it is, listened to the people. The people would have rioted. That's the difference. In Italy, they would have rioted. They would have burnt down a parliament building if they would have let the Africans overrun the country anymore. Enough was enough! So they used the Italian Coast Guard, the Italian Navy, and they stopped them. They send the Africans right back. Here we got a corrupt government that not only doesn't send back the Central Americans, they usher them across the border, and they arrest a border patrol agent who does his job. Okay, I got in politics again. It came out like a disease. Because it's eating me alive. I can't sleep at night seeing what they're doing. I when Icarus does this, I can't take it anymore. I'm waiting for the wax to melt. I'm waiting finally for someone to impeach him for what he's doing. Yeah. I think I'm going to wait a little while for that one. You know what the prices were in Europe in those days? Look at this. I want to give you a price. Sunday, June 22nd, 1963. And as I write this, it is now Monday morning, 4:30 a.m. Boy, I stayed out late. I am in a hotel. Now I'm asleep by 10 o'clock. I was in a hotel. I'm up at 4. I sound like a hipster. At 4:30. I'm in a hotel in Ramblas, a district of Barcelona. Barcelona is wild and expensive and dirty in appearance. The people are in the streets celebrating a holiday, San Juan, singing, dancing, and drinking in the streets. A teeming flow of humanity. Narrow side streets, fried squid, smelts, and beer at 6 cents a bottle. It is costing me 200 pesetas a day for room with bath and three fantastic meals. That was about $3.35. Costing me 200 P's a day for room with bath and three fantastic meals. It was in a pension for $3.35. That was so wonderful for a poor college kid from America. That was a long time ago. So no, I did love traveling those days, but now that I can afford it, I mean, I don't want to do it. You know, here's something funny. Remember, I was in Queens College as a kid. We used to joke around. The guys were very smart, some of them, in New York. So we would joke about the future. One guy was going to be a doctor. The other one was going to be a dentist. The other was going to be, an accountant. If he was stupid, he was going to be a journalist. And then they went on doing it. So the guy says, you know, I don't know. He said, what are we going to wait to go to Europe when we're so old, 40 years old, he said, and we have enough money to travel Europe in an air-conditioned Chrysler? I mean, that line, the air-conditioned Chrysler, was very funny. I think Jack Kerouac wrote The Air-Conditioned Nightmare. No, my favorite writer at the time. God, why am I so... There was no Chrysler when Mark Twain was alive. It was Henry Miller, Black Spring, The Air Conditioned Nightmare. But that always stood as a metaphor for me, like, oh, when we're older and we can afford it, what are we going to wait to go to Europe when we're 40 in an air conditioned Chrysler? Meaning, you know, sterile, right? See nothing. Sounds pretty good to me, actually, to see Europe in an air conditioned Chrysler today. I mean, how do you want to see Europe? What, do you want to be on a train and be robbed by illegal aliens? They give you like a knockout drug? I had a friend who went to Europe not too long ago. They gave him a drug on the train. Full of Eastern European crooks, drugs. I mean, you know, you think it's a paradise waiting for you there? I love these shows. They glorify her. This guy has a show. He has a weird voice. You think he's effeminate, but then they show you the wedding ring. You know, you can't figure it out. Like, see Europe. I forget, it's a nice show, but I don't go for the sissy voices on guys. I can't relate to it. Then you see the wedding ring and pictures of his kids. It mixes me up. But he does a reasonably good show. But every show is about the wonders of Europe. Okay, fine. The wonders of Europe. My father ran away from it. What am I going to run back for? What's waiting for me? That's a joke. Okay. I mean, okay, I understand many of you can't wait to go to Europe. I'm even thinking of going back to Mallorca one day. Yeah, right. Yeah, I can't wait to go back and see Miami, Miami in the Mediterranean. What am I going to see that I can't see here? I was just in Miami. What's in Mallorca that's so wonderful? Nothing. I can't stand the heat. I can't stand the humidity. And when I was there, it was very interesting all of those years ago. You'd see the old Spanish women in black dresses. That was the equivalent of the burqa in those days, the Catholic women. Wow, that was so severe. The faces on the Spanish women, they were so amazing. They were like the trees. They were somber. They were dignified. They had such austerity about them. They reminded me of my grandmother. I really respected them. I would like go up to them like they were like saints in those black, you know, like, oh, so watch out, you know, treat a woman with respect because they deserved it. They treated themselves with respect, so a man would treat them with respect. Now compare that with Alec Baldwin's daughter showing up behind on Instagram, or Sean Penn's daughter. Again, showing anything they can do to show their behinds in a wet bathing suit. You hear? That's the difference. I mean, the world is unbelievable that a father doesn't tell a girl, I'm going to put you in a nunnery if you keep it up. I'm going to have you arrested if you do this anymore. You're insane. It's insane. It's crazy insane. A grown woman naked on Instagram showing your behind, and a selfie of a behind. That's womanhood today. It's insanity. Do you understand that it's a meltdown, not only of a culture, but of an entire mind? Insane. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I'll give you 10 shocking political statements another day. Right now, I can't take it anymore, frankly. I can't. Muslim Brotherhood's UK network. Like, I'm shocked to find out that David Cameron is tied to the Muslim Brotherhood. The man who came into power and said he removed me from the list of banned Americans, right? Now he's shaking hands with the Muslim Brotherhood. Like, I'm shocked that Londonistan is in their hands, right? So I'm taking your calls on vacation sites that you recommend. Everyone's calling with funny stuff, really. I mean, this is amazing. Some of them are a little lewd. I can't take certain calls here. I mean, like one saying, come to my backyard, I'm in a bikini. I can't do that. Can't do that on radio. Mike, go to Burning Man. Here, WABC, Andrew, where would you recommend people go on vacation? Andrew, go ahead, please.
Hey, if you can stand the heat, Thailand. And I wanted to ask you, too, about the elephants in Thailand, because I know you spoke on the elephants.
Well, I've been to Thailand. I almost died there from food poisoning, number one. I don't know what the big deal is with Thailand. What do you go there for? I mean, to be honest, I went there for business. I had to give a lecture on herbal medicine, but I almost died from the food. I was near death. A lot of Americans go to Thailand basically for the sex. That's all. Do you go there for the sex or what?
Sex with my wife. That's where my wife.
Oh, thank God. I was afraid because a lot of them go to Phuket or whatever, the islands there. Yeah. They could go and get a disease and come home with it for life. You know, a night with Venus, a lifetime with Mercury is what they used to say, but no one knows what that means anymore. That's why Jack London died the horrible death he died of. He died of yours. Jack London died of yours, which is syphilis-like. And it was a terrible death. A night with Venus, a lifetime with Mercury, because they used to treat syphilis with injections of the toxic heavy metal mercury. It was worse to die from that than the yours or the syphilis. Here, one last entry from Mike's journal. Summer 1963, 7763, right? Mallorca. Look at the prices here. How much was I paying here? I'll make it quick. The most splendid, blah, 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 through a series of sermons. I'm living with our funny Irwin, Henri the Frenchman, in two rooms, which are costing us the sum of $10 each for the month. Living on this block of natives, the last vestiges of a pleasant beachfront. Now overrun by very American resort shops. Postcard racks in front of every store, straw hats, suntan oil, and the very old Mallorcan women in their somber black dresses, bent under the strain of the years. Not more than... The scent of the woods is the same as the Catskills or the 10-mile river region of Pennsylvania. I look forward to my future, I wrote, knowing that one day I will own a small home near the pines and the sea. Well, I do. I own a small home near the pines in the sea. That's why I feed birds bagels.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.